This is the daily radio ministry of Pastor Sandy Adams of Calvary Chapel, Stone Mountain, in Atlanta, Georgia. Pastor Sandy is currently teaching through the book of Ezekiel. Today, Pastor Sandy will teach through the book of Ezekiel, chapters 40 through 43.
Then he went to the gateway, which faced east. And he went up its stairs and measured the threshold of the gateway, which was one rod wide, and the other threshold was one rod wide. Each gate chamber was one rod long and one rod wide. Between the gate chambers was a space of 5 cubits. And the threshold of the gateway by the vestibule of the inside gate was one rod. He also measured the vestibule of the inside gate one rod. Then he measured the vestibule of the gateway, 8 cubits. And the gatepost, 2 cubits. The vestibule of the gate was on the inside. In the eastern gateway were 3 gate chambers on one side and 3 on the other. The 3 were all the same size. Also, the gateposts were of the same size on this side and on that side. He measured the width of the entrance to the gateway, 10 cubits. And the length of the gate, 13 cubits. There was a space in front of the gate chambers, 1 cubit on this side and 1 cubit on that side. The gate chambers were 6 cubits on this side and 6 cubits on that side. Then he measured the gateway from the roof of one of the gate chambers to the roof of the other. The width was 25 cubits as door faces door. From the entrance to the gate, here's what's going on. There are 3 gates in the outer court. They correspond with 3 gates on the inner court. And from the entrance of the gate to its exit was 43 3/4 feet. In other words, these were long gates. These were oriental gates. These were gate systems. Where you didn't just, we think of a gate, we think of one swinging fence. But their gates were like systems of protection or systems of commerce. People would line the inside of the gates and various functions would go on in the city's gates. The gates leading into the temple were that kind of a construction. They were these long walkways. These gates too were very, very high. We're told that he measured the gateposts 60 cubits high. That's 105 feet. And the court all around the gateway extended to the gatepost. These gates were skyscrapers, the height of a 10-story building. He goes on, from the front of the entrance gate to the front of the vestibule of the inner gate was 50 cubits. In other words, there's an inner gate opposite the outer gate. There were beveled window frames in the gate chambers and in their intervening archways on the inside of the gateway all around. And likewise in the vestibules. There were windows all around on the inside, and on each gatepost were palm trees. In other words, this temple had some craftsmanship going on. It had some ornamentation going on. There were arches. There were beveled windows. There were engraved palm trees. Then he brought me into the outer court, and there were chambers and a pavement made all around the court. 30 chambers faced the pavement. The pavement was by the side of the gateways, corresponding to the length of the gateways. This was the lower pavement. Then he measured the width from the front of the lower gateway to the front of the inner court exterior, 100 cubits toward the east and the north. On the outer court was also a gateway facing north, and he measured its length and its width. Its gate chambers, 3 on this side and 3 on that side, its gateposts and its archways, had the same measurements as the first gate. Its length was 50 cubits and its width 25 cubits. Its windows and those of its archways and also its palm trees had the same measurements as the gateway facing east. It was ascended by 7 steps, and its archway was in front of it. A gate of the inner court was opposite the northern gateway, just as the eastern gateway. And he measured from gateway to gateway 100 cubits. And so you've got three gates on the outer court, then three gates on the inner court. After that, he brought me toward the south. And there are a gateway was facing south, and he measured its gateposts and archways according to these same measurements. So all six gates were of the same size, the three on the outer wall and the three on the inner court. Now, there were windows in it, and in its archways all around like those windows, its length was 50 cubits and its width 25 cubits. In other words, they were rectangular. These gateways were rectangular, 50 cubits long, 25 cubits wide. Seven steps led up to it, and its archways was in front of them, and it had palm trees on its gateposts, one on this side and one on that side. There was also a gateway on the inner court facing south, and he measured from gateway to gateway toward the south, 100 cubits. Then he brought me to the inner court through the southern gateway. He measured the southern gateway according to these same measurements. Also, its gate chambers, its gateposts, and its archways were according to these same measurements. There were windows in it, and in its archways all around, it was 50 cubits long and 25 cubits wide. Again, the gates were rectangular shaped. There were archways all around, 25 cubits long and 5 cubits wide. Its archways faced the outer court. Palm trees were on its gateposts, and going up to it were eight steps. There were seven steps leading up to the outer gates, but then there were eight steps leading up to the inner gates. And he brought me into the inner court facing east. He measured the gateway according to these same measurements. Also, its gate chambers, its gateposts, and its archways were according to these same measurements, and there were windows in it, and in its archways all around, it was 50 cubits long and 25 cubits wide. Its archways faced the outer court, and palm trees were on its gateposts on this side and on that side, and going up to it were eight steps. Verse 35. Then he brought me to the north gateway and measured it according to these same measurements. Also, its gate chambers, its gateposts, and its archways, it had windows all around. Its length was 50 cubits and its width 25 cubits. Its gateposts faced the outer court. Palm trees were on its gateposts on this side and on that side. And going up to it were eight steps. There was a chamber and its entrance by the gateposts of the gateway where they washed the burnt offering. In the vestibule of the gateway were two tables on this side and two tables on that side on which to lay the burnt offering or slay the burnt offering, the sin offering, and the trespass offering. They're offerings in this temple, by the way. At the outer side of the vestibule, as one goes up to the entrance of the northern gateway, were two tables. And on the other side of the vestibule of the gateway were two tables. Four tables were on this side and four tables on that side. By the side of the gateway, eight tables on which they slaughtered the sacrifices. And Ezekiel is being obedient. He is writing down everything that he sees. There were also four tables of hewn, that is, hand-carved stone for the burnt offering. One cubit and a half long, one cubit and a half wide, and one cubit high. On these they laid the instruments with which they slaughtered the burnt offering and the sacrifice. Inside were hooks, a handbreadth wide, fastened all around, and the flesh of the sacrifices was on the tables. Now, this was all in the north gateway to the inner court. This was where the animals were prepared for sacrifice. And notice there will be animals sacrificed in the millennial temple. We'll talk about this later. It's a provocative thought. Verse 44. Outside the inner gate were the chambers for the singers in the inner court. Singers have got to have a place to practice. And so this temple has a choir room. This is where the singers gathered to practice and rehearse before they worshiped God. One was facing south at the side of the northern gateway and the other facing north at the side of the southern gateway. Then he said to me, "This chamber which faces south is for the priests who have charge of the temple." These are the priests that handled the music and the worship that went on in the temple. Whereas the priests that handled the sacrifices were stationed in the chamber facing the north. We're told the chamber which faces north is for the priests who have charge of the altar. These are the sons of Zadok from the sons of Levi who come near the Lord to minister to him. And he measured the court 100 cubits long and 100 cubits wide, four square. This was the inner court, 100 by 100, the area between the inner gates where the sacrifices were offered on the bronze altar. Now the altar was in front of the temple. Then he brought me to the vestibule of the temple and measured the doorposts of the vestibule, 5 cubits on this side and 5 cubits on that side. And the width of the gateway was 3 cubits on this side and 3 cubits on that side. The length of the vestibule was 20 cubits and the width 11 cubits. And by the steps which led up to it, there were pillars by the doorposts, one on this side and another on that side. And now you've just read a chapter of the Bible most Christians have never read. Congratulations. But he's working from the outside in. And he's gotten all the way to the vestibule, or the foyer, of the temple itself, the holy place where God's presence will dwell. Now let's sort it all out for a minute and understand what we've just read. Written blueprints aren't really stimulating reading. You get that impression. Let's sum up some things. The outer court of this temple was surrounded by a wall. And inside this wall, it had 30 chambers used by the priests. In this wall, there were 3 gates on the east, north, and south. These were oriental gates, or as we've pointed out, long corridors. Their entranceway was 17 and a half feet wide by 23 feet long. 3 small chambers of equal size were on either side of the corridor. The entire structure was how many cubits? 25 cubits by 50 cubits. That is 43 and 3/4 feet wide by 87 and a half feet long. The distance from the outer gates to their corresponding inner gate was 100 cubits or 175 feet. 7 steps led up to the outer gates and 8 steps led to the inner gates. And this is interesting. For in Scripture, 7 is the number of completion. Whereas 8 starts over. It's the number of new beginnings. 7 completes it. 8 starts afresh. 7 is the number of completion. 8 is the number of new beginnings. And isn't it interesting that when you come to Christ, as you're coming to that outer court, when you come to Christ, this is the end of your wanderings. This is the end of your emptiness. You find the missing piece when you find Jesus. You become complete in Christ Jesus. He is all that you'll ever need. But once you're in Christ, you realize what? That it's just the beginning. Yes, I'm complete in Christ, but now there's a whole new world to learn and to grow and to experience. In Christ, there are new beginnings. And so these steps might also teach us some spiritual lessons about our relationship with the Lord. The gateposts, too, were engraved with palm trees. A palm tree was a Jewish symbol for beauty and fruitfulness and victory. Remember when Jesus made his triumphant entry into Jerusalem, how did the Jews welcome him? By laying out palm fronds across the path. It was a symbol of his triumph. In the north gate, there were tables with hooks at the corners. These hooks held the sacrifice down on the table while it was being slaughtered. These tables were of hewn or hand-carved stone. Remember in Solomon's temple, 4,000 musicians ministered on a full-time basis. I would imagine when Jesus reigns, there will be much more joy and praise than Solomon's temple ever saw. And they'll need more than 4,000 musicians, and thus they have a chamber here for the musicians to warm up in. And then there'll be priests who will offer sacrifices to God. They're called the sons of Zadok. Zadok was the one priest who remained faithful to King David when David's son Adonijah rebelled against him. And it seems here God is rewarding the father's faithfulness by blessing his future sons. Now, having read, having summed up some of the high points here in chapter 40, you get the flavor of what's happening. Ezekiel is giving architectural descriptions. And the next two chapters are very similar. And so for the sake of time, I'm not going to read chapters 41 and 42. I'm going to summarize those chapters with a few comments. And afterwards, you can ask any questions that you might have. Now in chapter 41, Ezekiel measures the doorposts and the entryway. You remember he got us all the way up to the foyer, the vestibule of the holy place, the temple itself. And so now he measures the doorpost and entryway into the holy place, or the temple's inner sanctum. And it resembles what we found in both Solomon's temple and in the temple of Jesus' day, Herod's temple. Verse 22 mentions the one piece of furniture that's in the holy place, the altar that stands before the Holy of Holies. This time it's made of wood, whereas before it was made of gold. In essence, the holy place was God's throne on the earth. In Ezekiel's temple, the holy place was 105 feet long by 35 feet wide. And within it, there is the most holy place, called elsewhere the Holy of Holies. It takes the shape of 20 cubits by 20 cubits, or 35 feet square. Around the outside of the holy place were three stories of chambers designated for the priests. Again, the priests have to work. They have to have a place where they can perform their tasks. And so around the outside of this temple are priestly chambers. There's three stories of them, and they're all constructed in sort of a staircase configuration. Behind the holy place was another building that butted up against the temple proper on the west side. This structure is 122.5 feet wide by 157.5 feet long. Ezekiel measures this building in verse 12, but he doesn't tell us its purpose. You know, we've got a warehouse that we rent because there's no storage here in the building. We call it the annex. And so whenever the clutter gets too much, we load up the van and we haul it off to the annex and we throw it in the annex and worry about it later. Maybe this is the temple's annex. I'm not sure. It's kind of the warehouse space for decluttering the temple. I'm not sure. Now, the inner court measured 100 cubits by 100 cubits, or 175 feet by 175 feet, while the outer court measured 500 cubits by 500 cubits. That's a big plaza. That's a big platform. That's 875 feet by 875 feet. That's a total of 765,625 square feet. Ezekiel's temple covers an area 17 and a half acres. This makes Ezekiel's temple much, much larger than either Solomon's or Herod's. And perhaps most interesting about this temple are the engravings in the walls of the holy place in Ezekiel's temple. Apparently, God is into wood paneling. Your wife might not be, but God is into wood paneling. Engraved into the walls of the temple's holy place were cherubim and palm trees. Now, cherubs were angels. You recall the prophecy of Ezekiel began in chapter 1 with a vision of cherubim and the wheels of God's throne chariot. Here these cherubs are engraved in the panels within the holy place. Now the cherubs in Ezekiel chapter 1 had four faces: that of a lion, that of an ox, that of a man, and that of an eagle. And we noted how that all four faces speak of Jesus. Jesus is the lion or the king. He is the ox or the ultimate servant. He is a man like us, and Jesus is like an eagle. He is sovereign over all things, or God himself. But in this temple, the cherubs only have two faces, of a man and of a lion, which is probably a reference to the two comings of Jesus. He came the first time as a man, incarnate in the flesh. He comes the second time as the lion of the tribe of Judah. Jesus is the conqueror on the throne. He's the king of the jungle. Now in chapter 42, Ezekiel continues to describe the priestly chambers that surround the holy place. And in verse 11, his subject are the walkways. And notice the comment that he makes at the end of the verse. Verse 11 of chapter 42. And all their exits and entrances were according to plan. And all their exits and entrances were according to plan. Here's the big takeaway from tonight's passage. All that God does is according to plan. Understand that. All that God does is according to plan. The God that we serve isn't slap-hazard. He does nothing makeshift. God doesn't jimmy-rig his acts. No, God has an exact plan and purpose for all he does, even what he does in your life. You might not always see his purpose. Sometimes it's hidden. He might not choose to tell you what's going on. Informing us about everything he does is not God's obligation. Our duty is to trust in him. But God has a purpose for all he does. And notice what God plans. All the exits and the entrances. God has planned his entrances into your life. God has planned your exits from situations. He's planned the entrances and the exits. You know, we pray and pray and pray for God to come to our aid. Before we forget, though, that his plans are best. And he's in charge of when to enter the situation, when to intervene on our behalf. But Lord, today, the bill comes due today, Lord, please. You know, we think we know when he needs to enter the situation. No, God plans his entrances. At other times, we want to move on and go on to something else. We're tired of where we are. God says, stay put. God also plans his exits and our exits. All the entrances, all the exits are planned by God. We need to learn to trust God's workings in our life. Always remember, his exits and entrances are according to his plan. And then in verse 15 to 20, Ezekiel measures the wall that surrounds not only the temple, but the entire Temple Mount area. It measures 500 rods by 500 rods. Now remember, a rod equaled 6 cubits, or 10 and a half feet. That means that 500 rods by 500 rods makes this temple platform almost an entire square mile. That's the size of the old city of Jerusalem today. Not just the Temple Mount, but the whole old city is one square mile. This is obviously going to require a change of topography in and around Jerusalem during this millennial kingdom. And it's interesting, Zechariah 14 predicts just that kind of alteration. Verse 3 of Zechariah 14 tells us, then the Lord will go forth and fight against the nations, as he fights in the day of battle. In that day, his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall be split in two from east to west, making a very large valley. Half of the mountain shall move toward the north and half of it toward the south. When Jesus comes, an earthquake is going to completely alter the topography in and around Jerusalem and apparently enlarge the Temple Mount. You know, today people who live in apartments on the Mount of Olives will tell you about the frequent tremors that shake their homes. The ground there is very unstable.
Being on the go is something we're all accustomed to in this culture. The hustle and bustle of life seems to make the days just fly by. For most of us, our smartphones are sort of an extension of our bodies, constantly ringing and dinging, telling us where to be and what the next appointment is. The technology that we enjoy in this day and age is amazing. And while there's certainly no end to the bad things we can find online and through our smartphones, there's also some great kingdom-minded options. We'd like to invite you to download the Sandy Adams mobile app. Our mobile app is available for iPhone, Android, and Windows smartphones. Or log on to sandyadams.org and simply click on the link from the main menu. When you download the app, you'll be able to listen to the most recent messages taught by Pastor Sandy, browse the series archive, and search the archive alphabetically. Finally, when you download the mobile app, you'll also have the opportunity to join us live for our Sunday morning worship service right from your smartphone. Again, to download the Sandy Adams mobile app, simply enter Sandy Adams in the search options of your smartphone's app store, or log on to sandyadams.org and simply click on the mobile app option right on the homepage. And please join us again as Pastor Sandy continues teaching through the Bible right here on Sandy Adams Radio.